Amen. 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 Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you that we can come before you and worship, that we do look to you and thank you that you have forgiven our sins and brought us close to you. You hear our prayers, and God, we give thanks to you. And so, Lord, I pray this morning you would really speak to us through your word and be an encouragement, and that we could feel the strength that you have working through us and the promises you have for us. And so, God, we just thank you for all those things. And Lord, I know in a difficult world, in this, like what's going on in Ukraine, we lift that situation up to you and so much out of our hands. But Lord, we just put it at your feet, and we do pray for those poor people. And Lord, that you to move in a powerful way. And thank you for what you're doing here. Thank you for what Adam and Wendy presented. And Lord, there's just so many ways that we can help, and we thank you for that. And please ask you to direct each one of us as we have our eyes set upon you. We thank you for that. So Lord, I pray you would just anoint me, that I just speak things of the Spirit, and I pray you would open each heart, that they'd be open to the Scriptures, and that you would speak to them and give them encouragement in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, 2 John verse 9. 2 John verse 9. Only has one chapter, and it's 2 John 1, 9. So I just think it's neat we're having a second message in 2 John. it's not a very big book. All right, we want the name of the title of the message. I want to set the tone here. The title of the message is Firm Foundation. And in this world, when we look around, don't we need a firm foundation? Things are just coming apart at the seams, it seems like. So let's look at this. 2 John verse 9. It says this: Everyone who goes ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Now, we have a firm foundation in order that we may be completed in every work, in every good work. And that firm foundation is the Scriptures. It's the Bible. It's a witness unto itself, all right? It calls itself the firm foundation. So for us to be complete and do the things that the Lord is calling us to do, we need to be in the Scriptures and seeing what God is speaking to us, all right? So that's real important. So when you say firm foundation, that's where our eyes have to go. Now, when it says the teaching of Christ, it means, of course, the teaching of Scripture. The teaching of Christ and the Scriptures go hand in hand. And it's saying if we do not hold to these teachings, the Scripture declares that we do not have God. You go, well, that's, we can say, well, that's kind of heavy, it holds up, and you're on a cross, and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved, we're going to heaven. But the Lord really encourages us to move beyond that. It's like, get in the Scriptures, learn of me, renew your mind. So he's asking us, I'm not taking away just the free gift of the Scriptures, but he certainly is asking us to go to him and to grow in him and to walk with him. And so it says, if you're not in these teachings and don't understand them, it says, well, you don't have God. And I thought, well, whoa, So we see the importance of it. Now, however, if we hold to these teachings of Scripture, it says we have God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Someone will ask me, well, how can I understand? How can I get closer to God? How can I understand the Father? How can I understand who Christ is? And the Bible is real good. It's getting the Scriptures. Getting the Scriptures. Well, I won't go talk to so-and-so. Well, that's okay. But when you walk from so-and-so, they have better have told you to get in the Scriptures, all right? That's a sign of a good counselor and a good mentor. They tell you, get in the Scriptures. You go to people and they encourage you from their life, what God has taught them, and God tells us to do that. But when they finish, they go, don't look to me, go to the Scriptures and God will speak to you. So it's just a rule of thumb. You should know about all things, and when you're encouraging people or when anybody's encouraging you, from a Christian standpoint, it has to be there. Now, again, I'm making a point here because of what this verse says. If you don't abide in this teaching, you don't have God. It's like, that's a huge statement there. No matter how gifted, how smart, or anyone else is, well, if they're not abiding in the Scriptures, they don't have God. Well, that just puts them in a different plane. You know, they may get a lot of things done, but the Lord's message to them, they do not have God. And so they're going to be off track, and you don't want them to pass that on to you, you know, in their charisma or whatever. And so, of course, the one of the best statements on the Scripture, which, explains this firm foundation of the teaching of Christ in the Scriptures, is 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. Now I'm going to help you memorize this. What's like the most well-known verse in the Bible? John 3:16, okay? So this will help you, okay? Here's the name, Timothy, okay? Timothy 3:16. Now you'll never forget this. Here it is. You'll know John 3:16 and Timothy 3:16, all right? But listen to what this says about the Scripture. It says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. Now just pause there. Pause there. How many, there's a couple of, I like mysteries, you know. I like Gresham, you know, that writes those mystery books. I think I've read almost every one of him. I like the way he writes, and that's just kind of nice, you know. He has a good way of putting things, and there's a couple other things, you know. But, you know, Gresham's not God. He's not breathing out, you know, the words of God, okay? He's smart and able to put things together and kind of a decent author in my opinion. But what Scripture is breathed out from the mouth of God. Now, I mean, that's kind of, you know, something we need to pause on. And I've even shared sometimes that when you get close to God, just open the Bible and let Him breathe on you. See? Because His Word is here. Well, I don't understand it. Whose issue is that? Whose issue is that? I mean, it's like, I mean, if I'm reading Gresham, he gets in the plot. I don't understand this. I'm going to throw the book away. You know, I'm going to stick with it. No, he's going someplace with this, and so I'm going to try to figure out where he's going. And then, son of a gun, then you get like on the second to the last chapter, that's where he was going. See, well, the Bible's the same way. I'm going to give you some stuff, and I'm going one place. But it'd really be beneficial if you read not the last chapter, but the ones preceding it also. You know? And So this, what it says here about the Scripture is we need to grasp what God says about it. It is God breathed. A lot of Bibles use inspired. The Bible, the Scriptures are inspired. The literal word, though, is God breathed. He breathed out the word. And so we need to take that to mind when we're looking at the teachings of Christ. So it says this, all Scripture is breathed out by God. Well, what's it good for then? Breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete. May be complete. Let's take God out of the school system so these kids will never be complete. You see what I'm saying? Let's take it out of the legal system so the law will never be complete. You know, and so you see from God's point of view what he's going, I shouldn't have done that. You know, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Okay, you're equipped. What's through the Scriptures? And what this verse says, it's going to say, you know, if you don't imbibe in this teaching, you don't have God. School system doesn't abide in this teaching. They don't have God, okay? Moving more and more, the legal system doesn't abide in this teaching. They don't have God. More and more politicians are moving away from this. They don't have God. They may be smart, you know. I mean, if I'm buying a car, you know, it's like that. I think this is a good car. I say, I want to know before I buy this car if the manufacturer was a Christian. No, I want a guarantee from the guy who built this car because he's smart on building cars, you know, like that. And I have great cars, you know, in my lifetime. I don't know if any of them are ever a Christian, you know, like that. And the guy says, here, you'll love this car because I'm a Christian. And that's not what I want. No, God bless you. See you in heaven. Who made this car? You know, you see what I'm saying? So we just have some common sense about it. You know, we say, you have a home in heaven. You know, that doesn't make you an engineer, buddy. I mean, I'm talking, it just doesn't work, you know. Guys, you know, he's going to do brain surgery. Just want to let you know I'm a Christian. Is anything else going on? That's good, but that's not what I need to hear right now. I'm reading to hear right now. You know. So anyway, that gives us how we work and how we understand what's going on in the world and how to understand how to handle it. So Scripture is breathed out by the mouth of God, and moving forward in the foundation of Scripture means we're moving forward with God and the Son. You see what I'm saying? And that's what this is saying. I say, so you move forward in the teachings of Christ, therefore you're moving forward with God and Jesus. Amen? And I won't, again, because it's people are crazy. I'll tell you this. You ever get these phone books, and it's Christian phone books. And you can look it up, everybody in there is a Christian, like that. I throw them away. You know, because if I'm calling a mechanic, I don't want to know if he's a Christian. I want to know if a guy can fix a car. You know, I got to tell you this story. Oh, this is hilarious. I had a friend of mine, I've told you before, and he had just, I mean, he was a bulldozer for Christ. I mean, he just was. You call on God and do everything. So this is years. 40 years ago, maybe. Can you believe I say 40 years ago and I'm still alive? You know what I mean? Anyway, okay. But 40 years ago. And so we had, Linda and I didn't have any money. I mean, we had this car and it started missing. It's really missing, losing oil. And the guy says, and so this is 19 whatever, you know, 80, something like that. And he says, And he kind of messed around. He had an old pickup. He said, I can fix that. And I said, well, and this is a new car. And it was like, you know, it's out of warranty. So it's a nice car. And he said, yeah, I can fix that. And he said, you've blown a gasket. Really? Now, y'all with me that know anything about a car, he just told me I blew a gasket. And he says he's going to fix it. You really think? I said, really? He said, that's no problem. And so since we didn't have any money, he said, Okay, so what he did, he took and we had a back big parking lots, townhouses, and so a bunch of parking lots, so he had a lot of room there. And so he opened the hood, and he started just taking things out. Well, if you don't know, the gasket is between two pieces of the block. That means all that stuff has to come out. And he took that out, and it was lined up all the way down this parking lot. It's almost as far as you could. It's like infinite. You could just move it to the curvature of the earth. We had stuff lined up. And I'm thinking, and so he took it out, put it in order. And so where I'm sitting there, the hood's up, he's looking over, and we're looking in the block. Have you ever seen the block? Don't ever want to look in your own car and see the block. It's just a hole in the block. And he looks there. He'd always call me Wally, only one. I hate that name. And he looked, he says, come here, Wally. He says, we need to pray. I said, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, don't, holy cow. What do you mean we need to pray? And he said, and this is how he started his prayer. I swear, you think I'm making this up. He's a good friend still to this day. He said, dear God in heaven, I have no idea what I'm doing. I mean, you're talking about somebody near to losing his salvation was me. I mean, I was, oh, God. Now, that's funny how certain other people can really encourage you to pray. I'm like, oh, Jesus, God, do something. Brother here, oh, we got this car engine scattered all over the parking lot. Anyway, and that's true. This, I didn't make this up. I mean, nobody would make this up. I wish Drew was here so he could hear this. I mean, it's like that. And so, anyway. Now, what he did, he just went back. He did replace gas. That really wasn't very hard. I mean, he just put the thing flat right there. That's it. But the parking lot full of parts, and he started putting them all back together. So he put them back together. That car never ran right. I mean, it would go, but it didn't run right. And this is the truth. You think people make these fun, you know, like a sitcom or something. And he had these three little what parts. He said, I don't know where these went. He's done. I mean, he is finished, and he has these three parts. And it's like, anyway, so the thing would go, and it would go. You know, you could just, like you could stomp the accelerator, and it'd die. But if you eased it, now I don't know what part, it would go, but you couldn't press it. It's real temperamental, you know. And so anyway, just long story, we traded it in on something, a motor scooter or something. I don't know. It was like, but that's what I'm saying. This guy is in my mind, is one of a solid brother, and I mean one of the just greatest believers I've ever met. Don't let him fix your car. Don't. He wouldn't do it. Well, God will lead me, you know. And I suppose he did. He led us to trade in our car and get another one. But see, but so he's a strong believer, but he's not a mechanic. And God has never revealed that to him. You know what I mean? And so it's just, you got to use some discernment. So you don't have to, and that's the reason, you know, it's probably sometime after that they gave you that phone book. You know, all Christian believers, I just threw it away. I said, oh, you know, there's no mechanics in here. And it just threw it away. Now I'm being, certainly believers are supposed to be honest, but and they should be, but they can, doesn't make us all mechanics. Anyway, so truth. So here we are. We don't want to. It's telling us, you know, not to go away from the teachings of Christ. And he never did go away from the teachings of Christ. Never did, you know. But he's still not a mechanic. He's still not a mechanic. Okay, so here we are. So we know that Scripture is breathed out of the mouth of God and things and aspects of life, you know, and it's good to have Christian mechanics like that. But it's not good to have mechanics just think they're Christians. Anyway, enough of that. So moving forward on the foundation of Scripture means we're moving forward with God the Father and Christ the Son. And therefore, as we move forward in the Scriptures, what we understand, we have faith like Abraham. See, in Hebrews 11:8 says this, I kind of condense it. By faith, Abraham, when called, went. God told him something, and then he did it. And that's really huge. That's what faith is. Faith is when called, went. When called, went. And that's something we should know. Have faith. Well, then to have faith, God's got to tell you something. Right? Amen? To have faith, God's got to show you something. And we know the Scripture is the foundation to breathe that Word of God. And so to have faith, we need to be in the Word to see what God tells us and how He teaches us. Now, with this, what we need to do also is internalize. Again, it says here, we abide in God. Well, what it means to abide in God means we internalize the Scripture. It's not something we just read like a, you know, manual. We read it and we internalize it, okay? And the Holy Spirit reveals things to it, but we walk, when we read things, we walk with internalized Scripture. Amen? You see? So it's important to internalize Scripture, and we abide with God. If we move forward without consulting the Scriptures, we are running ahead of God. You all with me? We'll just do this, we'll do this, we do. And this is our whole life. This is our whole life. Everything. You know, because God is just fully encompassing our presence. Now, we don't act like it all the time, but He is. You know, He's not just showing up once in a while. So, oh, my God, I better check on the wall. I haven't looked in a day or so. He's all encompassing all the time. And so when we internalize the Scriptures, we're abiding in Him who He is, and we have a natural spiritual understanding. Y'all with me? So we need to internalize scriptures. Internalize scriptures. Well, I don't understand. Well, you understand something. Internalize what you understand. And then continuing to learn something else and internalize that. I was talking with the guys the other day, and all of us said the same thing. Then we're reading through the scriptures. Most of them read through it several times. I said, read something. Say, well, who put this in here? I never saw this before. See, and that's what the scriptures will do. It'll come out, and you'll say, and God tells me, I just kind of blacked that out because you will never get it anyway. Just move on. So then I come through it the second time. So, oh, who put that in? It's always been there. You just couldn't grasp it. So he's telling us something. He's giving something really great insight to stay in the scriptures. And if we don't stay in the scriptures and internalize the scriptures, we're running ahead of God. Then what happens when we run ahead of God? Don't have God. So that's the message here. So it's really poignant. Now, okay, let's go back here, back to our other verse, back to John 2:9. The word here, which is interesting, the word go on ahead, that word literally means go in front of. It says we go on ahead, but it means you go in front of. So he said, don't go in front of God. You're like, gosh, I don't want to do that, you know. But that's what it said. Don't go in front of God. Don't go in front of God. So a paraphrase could be said, this is everyone who advances in bold confidence beyond the limits set by the scriptures. See, there's a bulk. I just move in front. Just, you know, move in front of God without consulting God. Bold confidence, but not consulting God in the situation. Now, these people, these are the people, when you look at this, that go, what's describing here, these are the people who go ahead of God. Now, again, we got to differentiate. We got believers and you got non-believers, but he's talking to believers also that, you can go ahead of God, and that's not a good thing to do, and unbelievers do it all the time. But the ones that go ahead of God, these are people, now listen to this, and this is very interesting. These are people who often think of themselves as progressives, modern, philosophically and theologically up to date. Let me tell you, I'm a progressive. This is what is happening now. And this is how we need to move forward. Because I'm modern and I'm up to date and I can see better than anyone in my past. See, they're progressive. And I'm up to date and I want to change things. And the big thing is they're up to date. Up to date. Okay. Today, these progressives, by definition, are redefining social justice and biblical Christianity. They're redefining it. See, and what they're saying, and people will say when they're being disparaging towards Christians, says, well, there's the super conservative. Now, what they would mean by super conservative is they believe the Bible is inspired and they believe it. See, that's what a super conservative is. Well, I just believe in Jesus. Like, that's just what I told you. You know? See, so it's super conservative. It's just we believe in inerrancy of Scripture. See, so don't get fooled. Well, it's because you believe this. No, it's because you believe Scripture. See, just understand what's going on around us. And so they're trying to redefine biblical Christianity, and they try to refine social justice. Have we seen that? Have we seen that? Now, I don't want to pick on anybody, but I mean, it's in the paper and stuff. But to see what, when you go that far and you get away from God, you don't have God, or you step out, even believer or non-believer, you don't have God, and you step out into a progressive situation to restructure social justice, it turns around and bites them. Because it doesn't work. God set up a thing saying, if you do it like this, it's going to work. But they just turn it around, it bites them. It's bites them. And so, and I'm just going to give you an example. You can just read it in the paper. This is no big, make your own decision. But one thing, it's, and there's certain things that need it, but, you know, kind of big things for women's rights, you know, and they are. I mean, that some of these things are really good. It's just women's rights. It's important. And they should be equal pay. They should. Okay, there's no issue with. So in a very liberal thing, they will go to the point of really emasculating men, but that's all right. They, you know, focus on women's rights. Then they also focus on, can't be prejudiced, and you have to, and so you have to accept and promote the rights of transgender. You got to. Listen, you're being discriminative, you're super, you believe the Bible, oh, you're one of those super conservative peoples, you know, it's like, no, we're not, it just says right here, you know, in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, and you know, it's like, and so, but no, you have to be open, and you have to accept the transgenders. You have to. Or you are bigoted, you know, and you're out of touch with culture and what we're doing. And then what happens? We have this guy that says he's a girl and wins the national swimming competition in college. He's a girl. He's a boy, and he swims with the girls because he says, I'm a girl. And then he smoked them other girls. He smoked them. You see? So what happens, you have this liberal theology that went here, and their other liberal theology went here, and it clashed. It can't work together, you know? Because, and these women are saying, that, and this little old girl that got second, and everybody's taking pictures of her, and she's, hey, yeah, I did what I could, you know? And these other ones, wait a minute, this is not fair. This is not fair. And you're going, duh. You see what I'm saying? But this is what happened. It doesn't work. When you get it down, if you just talk about this and you just talk about this, all right. You know, but then somewhere, well, this doesn't work. This doesn't work. See, well, we knew it didn't work, but we're super conservative, bigoted, and don't understand. It's like, well, they can come to church if they want to. I don't care if they come to church. I just don't particularly want my daughter swimming against this guy. You know, and by the way, what's funny about it, I mean, it's sad, it's not funny. Just say, what's the reverse? Say a girl wants to be a boy. And she goes out for the Los Angeles Rams. They say, come on, honey. I mean, they'll break her in two. There's just no physical comparison. You know? So the guys aren't suffering. The women are suffering. Some girl comes up in the swimming team and says, I want to swim with the guys. Like, come on. Come on, smoke you, babe. See, it doesn't work. And they create this maze because they don't have God. Now, you just carry that down to 100 different things. And say, well, it's working now. No, just give it 5, 6. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And then all the time they're telling us, we're bigoted. No, like I said, transgender wants to come to church, come on, we'll tell you about Jesus. I mean, that's fine, I don't care, you know, if that's what you want to do. So there's no, not bigoted anyway, but what you're doing in reality of life is not working in life. It's not working, and you're causing a lot of problems. And ultimately, you're destroying the family, and you're destroying the civilization. Who would be behind that? Who would be behind that? Okay, so here we are. Second John, and so what we have here is these people, because of this, these people have left authentic Christianity, and in America, it just happens to be they also destroy our Constitution. I mean, it's the same thing. So they have what they do is they can't coincide with authentic Christianity, and Christians that push this are not pushing authentic Christianity. They're manipulating Christianity. And it just so happens it's undermining our constitution of this country. Now, we have to know, by the way, there's certain things that need changed. I mean, I'm not that. It's just we need to base it on conversation. It says, thus, though progressive ideas, through progressive ideas, there's a danger of leaving Christianity. Okay, it's like, I'm a progressive. Okay. You know, but you got to pay attention. Are you progressive to the point you've left Christianity? Which you can. You can be progressive and not leave Christianity, all right? But we just need to know this. Now, so here we are. We're back here about internalizing Scripture. So with the Scriptures as our firm foundation, Christians walking with God should have Christ's teaching so internalized that our normal actions are always influenced by God producing a godly way. Now, I want you to, and in my notes here, I have underlined, and I will make a point, our normal actions. We have so internalized Scriptures that our normal actions will be consistent with God. It's just because it's so part of us. We don't have to think about it, just so part of this. And I can assure you, everybody in this room say, hey, we want this guy to race against these girls. And we're going, what? I mean, we have to go look up anything. We just go, what? This guy shouldn't be swimming against it. It's so internalized that we know. But so that's what Scripture should be to us as you come and hear messages, as you go to Bible studies, as you do everything else. It becomes internalized. It's part of the way you think. It's just a normal, natural way you think. You see what I'm saying? That's what it is. And so that's the reason for internalizing Scriptures. Again, through Bible studies, through messages, through your own reading, and with that, you're just seeing things from God's point of view. You internalize it so that you naturally respond. Okay, nobody has to tell you. You don't have to look it up or anything. This ain't right. No, this is what I should do. This is what I should do. All right? Now, you got that? Our normal reaction? But there's the other side of the coin. We don't want to go ahead of God, but we also need to look at the other side of the coin. And we know, it's when we know what to do and we don't do it. You know what happens? We know what to do and we don't do it. That's sin. Shucks. You don't do it. It's sin. It's like... So when you know what to do and you don't do it, that also is sin. James chapter 4, verse 17 says this. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Well, I didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, you did. You didn't do anything. I didn't hurt anybody. Sin for you because you knew what to do. You know. And so that's the thing. And so what it's saying here, which is interesting, idleness, or not making a decision, can be as bad or worse than making a bad decision. Isn't that crazy? Just by not making a decision can be worse than making a bad decision. It's like, oh. Now, I know some of us right now are in great anxiety. It's like, holy cow. You know, it's kind of heck if you do and heck if you don't. And it's like, Lord, what in the world? How can you be sure of something like this? And it says, I don't know what God wants or what the Scripture is saying about my situation. You know? And I know you think that way because I've been that way too. It's like, whoa, I don't know. Now, the Bible says we should not be anxious. And we should not be anxious because God will intervene. He will always intervene. And God is just saying, walk with him and consult with him. Now, if we just simplify it to that, here's a decision. It's just like, because you've internalized the Scripture. And whatever you know, God's going to use what you know as long as you're working with it. Okay, he's a constant teacher. He's not trying to get you in a bad spot. So as we're walking with God, we've internalized what we know, you know, whatever that is. And so as we've internalized it, as we come up to things, say, God, I don't know. Give me insight in what to do as I move forward in this. We consult him. See, so two things we do, internalize it and consult him, and he'll take care of it. So that's the key. It's like, I know what it is. He goes, no. Internalize it the best you understand, and then move forward the best you understand on what you've internalized, and you've consulted God, and he'll direct you. See, but he's asking you to do something based on what you know. Now, I'm going to say this. This is really important to this. And I wish I knew this a long time ago. And I think this is what this is saying here. You have this situation, and you're standing. And by the way, I'm not talking about, you know, one of the massive things, you know, that are just like going to cause terrible trauma, although that's probably a good place to ask God. But I'm talking about just everyday living. Everyday living. Oh, my God, what I would do. Can I go, Susie? I don't even know Susie. What are you talking about? If I don't get to go, I'm going to die. Wait a minute. You know, somebody calls up your spouse. They just... Baby's having the meltdown, you know, six-year-olds have the meltdown because I'm ruining her whole life. Have you ever been there? I don't know how, I don't even know how a six-year-old knows they have a whole life. They don't know, they're just 6 years old. But anyway, but what happens, the point I'm making is you get in these corners, oh my God, I don't know what to do, you know, and so you're looking at it and say, dear God, what am I doing? He says, well, you're not telling me nothing, I don't know anything in Scripture. Lord, you know, how do you make that decision? Now here, listen closely to this. Listen close. God has given us a good mind. He really has. It's God made, image of God. That's the reason that all these people, all these non-believers can do these unbelievable things. You ever watch Elon Musk? You ever listen to him? That guy has some sense. I mean, he really is. And I mean, when he talks about stuff, like, he's off this planet smart. I mean, you look at, like, good, how in the world, you know? And I just say, you know, Adam is way smarter than him. I mean, this Adam here, of course. But I mean, in Genesis, that Adam was way smarter than Elon Musk because he created Adam perfectly, you know? So Adam, like, he had a brain, you know, to die for. Adam did. Well, Elon Musk is way below Adam. But that guy's smart. And what he does, it's just logical, but he doesn't have God, okay? He doesn't have God. The point I'm making, we have a good mind. We have good brains, okay? We have good brains. It's magnificent, the kind of brain God has given us. Whether we use it or not, we still have one, okay? But listen to this, okay? And this will really help. If God, in this situation, do I do this? I can't, I'm not hearing God say this. I'm not saying anything in the Scriptures, and I'm going here with no influence. If God is not giving us a strong prompting either way, okay? God, there's nothing, Lord, if God is not giving us a strong prompting either way, he is saying that our natural thinking process is on track. Did y'all hear that? He said, you're on track. Why don't you give me, I don't have to, you're on the right road. When you tell me, sir, you're on the right road. You've internalized it, and as you turn, like, you're not even sure why it comes from. You feel and you understand and you move that way. Now, if you go over here, little God's, whoa, you know, or no, that's even better. Or if you go over here, whoa, you need to get checked. But when you're moving forward and think, okay, Lord, I got to do all this stuff. I want you to lead me through it. Best I know, this is what I'm doing. Well, you just do it with your natural mind. Because your natural mind is good, and you have internalized, Christ indwells you, the Holy Spirit indwells you, you've internalized Scripture, so your mind starts functioning normally the way God wants you to, and you are naturally doing things God wants you to do. And as long as you're making the, hey, I gotta go to the store, I gotta get this, I gotta get gas, I'm like, oh Lord, help me through all this mess, and go through, and came back, said, I never thought about God all day, I just wonder if he is in that. Yeah, you said, God, I'm going through all this, give me direction, strength to get it all done. He goes, okay. But he didn't say anything. No, he didn't have to. He didn't have to say anything. You knew what to do. You see what I'm saying? And so it's like, wow, that is something else. You know, that is, but that's what God is so present with us, working in us, and being with him, internalized, we naturally do what he wants us to do. We have a relationship with him. That's the reason we have Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us. So, everybody good with that? See, I think this is huge. And, you know, some of your charismatic, and I don't want to pigeonhole anybody, but some of your charismatic believers and stuff like, well, I'm not doing God, sit like this. I'm going to call and everything. He's going to speak to me, and he says word, and like that word, and I'll do this word, and like that. Well, yeah. You know, I mean, Linda's not here. See, that's what he does to dumb people. See, I don't know. Anyway, don't you dare tell her I said that. Anyway, see, I mean, it's like, gosh, this guy can't do nothing on his own. He's not learning nothing. If we don't intervene, you know, he's going to send his kids to Afghanistan. What's wrong with him? You know, and what I'm saying, I'm being facetious, but what I'm saying, no, in our natural functioning is we go, we with our mind, we can function in those stuff. Now, God in specific times or any time can speak to us and guide us in those times, and he does. But we'll even be more sensitive to that. We'll even be more, you know, doing all this stuff, I don't know that I would do that. See, it's working. See, it's a constant, and that's what the Bible tells us. I had one guy, and he was telling me, and by the way, I love, you know, people forgive for prophecy, people praying over people. I've had some wonderful experiences. But I had this one guy come up to me and told me, and he said, you know, so-and-so told me this and like that. And he said, I just feel uncomfortable with that. And this guy had a real prophetic gift, and to talk to him, he said, I'm real uncomfortable with that. He said, what would you do? I said, I wouldn't do it. If you're uncomfortable, don't do it. He's got the Holy Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit. He don't have a better Holy Spirit than you do. You know? And if he's like that, it's like, that's not confirming in my spirit. I'm not going to do that. See? Like that. You don't need to be mad at the guy or anything like that, but you don't have to believe him either. You see? So the whole picture is we're so internalized, you know, we internalize the scripture of Christ and know, and it gives a lot of walk and do it. Oh, and I'm like, and I did the thing of shopping or guys, you know, you got to fix the car, go do this, you take this. God, this is more going on today than I get done. You need to give me wisdom how to handle this. Okay? Guys, I'm like, okay, first go to the store, then, you know, go to the thing, then go pick up the kid, then come back, and then you can get the mom, and then, okay, you got it, and you're taking notes. That's not how it works. You just, okay, this is what I got to do, and you move forward, because internalizing God leads you to do the things you want to do. You need to do. I'm not saying want to, need to do. So it's a constant. We're not giving him enough credit for what he's doing. We're not giving him credit, because we got good minds. We have good minds. And God works through our mind. He works through our mind. Now, and so the whole thing, if we internalize things and continue to grow, it becomes, our walk with God becomes more natural. I mean, human speaking, more natural like that. All right? Okay, now let's get. Other thing, we have to go into presumption here. Therefore, after consulting God, God is saying, move in the natural mind he's given you. All right? Oh, I got to stay here until he speaks. God, the Lord, best I understand, just lead me in this because I got to move. Okay, you go. Do it. And he'll lead you in it, you know. God, I've been in bed at 6 o'clock. Speak to me. Should I get up? I'm not hearing nothing. You bink. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? All right. Now, but there's another thing. Now, acting without consulting God is presumption. Presumption. I'll just do it. You know what? Just do it. Hey, you know, just do it. No, that's acting without consulting God or thinking about God is presumption. Numbers chapter 14 has one of the best things, I think, for presumption for me that I see where people were presuming something and God didn't bless them. And I will read it to you. And the situation here, number 14, the Israelites are going to Canaan. Okay, God says, go in, the spies win, and go in, and we're going to whip all these guys in Canaan. And then they had all the belly aches, and no, they're bigger than us, they're stronger than us. No, we're not going. And just, yeah. God goes, forget it. You're going to wander in the desert for 40 years. Oh, man, that's a bad option. You know, we don't want to wander. He said, okay, we're sorry. We made a mistake. We're going to go in and fight the Canaanites. And Moses, no, that's not what he said. That's not what God said. You said you're going in, then he told you, and then you said you're not, and you're staying here. He said, okay, you're wondering that. No, we're wrong. We're going to do what needs to be done. We're moving out. We're presuming we're going to move out. And this is what they said, Numbers 14:43. It says, because you have turned back from following the Lord's not going to be with you. You're not consulting him. The Lord's not going to be with you. But they presumed. Yes. But they presumed to go up to the heights of the hill country, although neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed out of the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in the hill country came down and defeated them and pursued them. That's what happens when you presume. I can't repeat the thing about what you already know. Presumption does what? Anyway, y'all know what that is. I can't say it, but you know what it is, don't you? Okay, so acting with, and listen to words here, acting without consulting God is presumption. God, what do you want us to do on this? Acting without consulting God is presumption. Presumption is idolatry. Now, this is the thing when you look at Scripture and you go, the association God makes here, presumption is like idolatry. An idol, now just picture in your mind what an idol is. Okay? Just picture in your mind. Here's what God says. An idol is anything you put before God. Anything you put before God. It's an idol. You're motivated by that thing you put before you, not God. And that becomes an idol. Anything you put before God is an idol. So, and here's an example. And I mean, when you read these things, golly, God's really serious. He really is serious about some of this stuff. In 1 Samuel, there's a situation where God spoke to Saul in 1 Samuel to carry out a mission for God. And he said, listen, you go in there, these people are rotten to the core, destroy everything, and then I want you to come back. And then so Saul went in there. He did. I mean, he wiped the whole place out. He said, but you know, there's some pretty nice stuff there. He said, we don't want to tear all this up. So, hey, I think I'll bring it back for God. I just presume God wouldn't destroy it. I'll just bring it back to God. Okay? And then Samuel comes in, who's a prophet at the time, and he confronts Saul for his presumption. Okay? You know, you shouldn't have done that. Take it back. No, it doesn't say that. Here's what Samuel says to Saul because it's presumption. And this is 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, he's speaking to Saul. And Samuel said, has the God as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? I'll just pray, man. I didn't need these for sacrifice. I don't want these. Do you think I have more a desire for sacrifices than someone obeying the voice of the Lord? Now, this is just presumption. This guy didn't kill anybody. Well, he did kill some people, but the ones he was supposed to. Let me read that. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. I don't want your stinking sacrifices. I want you to do what I tell you. Verse 23. Now this one is, so what happened to Saul, now God calls it out, what he sees it, and it says this, for rebellion is the sin of divination. What'd Saul do? What'd God accuse Saul of doing? Rebelling, moving out from God, doing his own thing. And it's like divination, you know, like Satan worship. For rebellion is the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. You put your assumption before me. You put your assumption before me. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord. Hey, I just brought back some good stuff. I mean, I did most of what you said, like 95% of it. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord. You didn't do the whole thing. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Now, presumption. Going in front of God is sin and rebellion, which moves us into Satan's territory. We're under somebody's influence. You see? It's like, holy cow. Presumption is like idolatry because we put our own reasoning ahead of God. He surely doesn't want me to destroy this. I mean, we got some gold. Surely. What did I tell you to do? Now, again, I won't go back to the thing. It's like, oh, if I make the wrong decision, oh, no. Walk with God, consult God, and then move as you see fit or as your natural mind tells you what to do. See? Like that, and carry that out. There's no reason we need to be afraid in this. No reason whatsoever. So don't be anxious. When Christians consult God, he will guide us. And sometimes you don't have to say anything. If God is not giving us a strong prompting one way or the other, say, hallelujah. God is saying your natural thinking process is on track. Then move forward with whatever is on your mind. I'm going to share something. I didn't have this in my notes, but it just came to mind. When David called Nathan. Nathan was a prophet. David was a prophet too, but Nathan was like a full-time prophet. Okay, so David called Nathan and said, listen, I think we need to build, I'm living in this house. I think we need to build a house for the Lord. So he's telling Nathan, come on. He says, what do you think? Now, Nathan, the prophet, said to David, the prophet, and this is important. He said, David, do whatever is on your mind. Prophet, just, okay, do whatever on your mind. David said, okay, let's build this house and move. That night, God said, hey, David, you desire a good thing, but you're not going to build my house. My son's going to build my house. David, oh, okay. But you got two things going. What did Nathan, the prophet, say to David, the prophet, and David, the prophet, took it? Do what's in your own mind. That's in this decision making. Okay, this is what I want to do. I'm not getting anything here, look, but best I understand, okay, God, I expect your direction. I'm going to move in this area. We don't have to be. He's evidently okay with this. I'm not getting, you know, any negative vibes from this thing. That's where you move. Or there can be a prompting of the Holy Spirit, or the scriptures, you know, can show you, if the scriptures show you something perfect, I'll say, Lord, this is what you're telling me. Okay, I'll do it. Or there's prompting from the Holy Spirit. Okay, God, yeah, I won't do that. But then there's one. I don't hear anything. How many times have I heard people say, I don't hear anything? You don't need to. Read the scriptures, pray, and move in what you see to do forward, okay? God's not left. God just doesn't show up in special occasions. Like, oh my God, I'm dying. Come help me. Like, no, he's with us when we're getting groceries. You know, I mean, he's away at your 16-year-old for the first time to drive away in the car. You go, oh Lord Jesus, what was I thinking? Lord, you know, he says, he's there. When they're 32 and leave and go back, it's okay, God, they're there. You see what I'm saying? But see, we walk in that, and so we walk in an incredible amount of freedom and knowing God is immersed in us and we're moving forward. But he does say, read the scriptures or the teachings. You know, how many people, and I mean, it's how many people read their scripture, read the Bible. And he integrates his word. You know, it's kind of like drinking water, you know. And it just permeates our whole body, not just for one specific case for one specific time. So we just keep pouring it in, and things start bubbling out. You know, you see what I'm saying? And he gives honor to that. So God is totally immersed in our lives, and he doesn't just show up every once in a while. And so we can be confident in this. Now go back. We have strengths. We start here. Everybody's here. It's like 1 Corinthians 2:2. I said last week, I've decided to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He would just keep it simple. Jesus. And he'll build on that. You read the scriptures and he'll build. You read Leviticus. I would like to go to Leviticus. I mean, it's like Leviticus. Like, who in their right mind would ever read Leviticus? And you read it like, God, this is impossible. And you're going through it. But what you do, you read a chapter and say, man, that was tough. But spiritually, God breathed on you. Spiritually, he put things in you. Spiritually, you know, and so as you go through it, that stuff builds up. And as you know, if you've read through the Bible, you get the book of Hebrews. It is fantastic. It's almost all based on Leviticus. It's like, well, I skip Leviticus. Hebrews is not going to be as good if you skip Leviticus. You see what I'm saying? So just read it. So you're always being filled. It's God breathing on you. What if God came here and he said, I'm going to breathe on you? You know, you didn't tell me nothing I need. He said, you got more than you can handle. Just let me breathe on you. All right? Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we don't want to run ahead of you. And we thank you just permeate our entire thoughts. You want us to consult you. You want us to believe you. You want us to read your word, and that we will naturally start functioning as you want us to function. We need not fear. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.